But you're not all that strong to maybe even stay alive, but certainly not to do what a healthy person can do. In other words, that's the first effect. Increasing, sanctifying or habitual grace, especially in terms of its capacity to survive in the supernatural life. Second, the sacrament of confirmation confers actual graces. Those of you who took the course on grace, was it last year, should know the difference between habitual and actual grace. Habitual grace confers the supernatural life. Actual grace is all those helps from God which enlighten the mind or strengthen the will so that the life may both survive and grow. Confirmation confers two kinds of actual graces. First, by title, or the Latin phrase goes, in titulo, for those who are confirmed before they've reached the age of reason. Why do you suppose that's true? Why should it be only by title that actual graces are conferred on those who are confirmed before the age of reason?
Because it's not their self-willed desire to be confirmed.
Well, also, what's the purpose from God's viewpoint? Why does He give us actual graces? He expects us to what?
To use them.
Can a person, before they reach the age of reason, use actual graces?
No.
They don't know what to do with them. So, before the age of reason, the actual graces are conferred in confirmation, as we say, by title. On those who are confirmed after the age of reason, they are conferred both by title and actually. And both kind are needed. What forms of actual graces are conferred by confirmation? Actual graces for the mind, to strengthen the mind. Does that make sense, strengthening the mind?
Yes.
And, of course, strengthening the will. There are two kinds of strengthening. Internal, the graces that God gives deep down inside the soul, or more accurately, in the intellect and the will, and what is not common knowledge, external graces. Part of the blessing of confirmation is that God, in the 1,001, or maybe 100,001 ways, in which He protects our supernatural life through all the situations and circumstances which He arranges because we've been confirmed. Am I clear? Both to strengthen the faith we've got and to protect us lest we lose what we have. Third, there is, for every sacrament, a distinctive sacramental grace. It's simply the term used. Sacramental grace. It is distinctive for each sacrament. Since the purpose of the sacrament of confirmation is to strengthen, We have inside the word come firmation, the word firm. These two letters, F and R. Now F, as you know, is a combination of P and H. So F and R, P and R, in linguistics, the science of language is language, always have to do with strength. Thus, let's find three or four synonyms, not synonyms, words, with F or P and R in combination that somehow have to do with strength.
Fervor.
Please?
Fervor.
I think so, yes.
And what kind of strength do I use?
Another one.
Fortify.
Please, fortify. Another one. Fortitude. And one you would not expect. By the way, also in the science of linguistics, vowels don't count. That is, they count but not the way that they apply here. The word power. Comes from the same distant Sanskrit root. Okay? That's why Christ, remember, when he foretold the coming of the Holy Spirit, you will receive power. So, the special sacramental grace of confirmation, which is the sacrament of power, is all the help that a person needs to withstand opposition from within or without. Strength or power to withstand opposition. Do we have opposition from within? We sure do. And without. Yes, from the outside too. The sacrament of confirmation therefore confers, this is the distinctive sacramental grace, the grace of courage, of courageous withstanding of opposition from within and without. Now, lest we lose sight of the very specific pinpoint aspect of opposition for which confirmation strengthens us, it is especially opposition to the faith. Because while we need strength in so many ways, the most fundamental sacramental grace of confirmation is to strengthen us to withstand opposition to the faith from within and from without. What, in one word, is the principal source of opposition from within to the faith? As I've been telling you, my day is made if we can get that right. What is the principal opponent or enemy of the faith from within? Brother?
Doubt.
Well, that's already, then you're already in trouble. What's the enemy?
Reason.
Human reason is man's worst enemy to the faith. Now, the same reason is to be an ally, right? But if ever the reason turns on the faith, God help that person's faith. And as I've been telling my students for over 20 years, I think I've taught the subject of faith, the theology of faith, for 20 years. A semester course, a fascinating subject, and much of the course has to do with the relationship between faith and reason. Reason is to help the faith, support the faith, defend the faith. But woe betide that person if ever reason betrays the faith. Then you're in trouble. And then all the wonderful things that reason can do to support the faith, it is now using as a weapon against the faith. And that, in one long sentence, I think is a principal crisis in the church today. Reason, in so many people's minds, is being used to demolish, oppose the faith, where it should be used to strengthen. And this is the function mainly of the sacramental grace of confirmation. Fourth, this sacrament confers the character. Needless to say, this is the most important of the four effects of the sacrament of confirmation. As with all three sacraments of character, baptism, confirmation, and holy orders, they are assimilations to Christ. We become more Christ-like. And specifically for confirmation, we are first of all assimilated to or become like first Christ the priest. Christ the priest. We are strengthened by confirmation to bear suffering in doing the will of God, even as Christ endured suffering in doing the will of the Father. And lest there be any doubt, let's remind ourselves, there is no possibility of remaining faithful to doing the will of God without suffering. Forget it. You either decide to do God's will and pay the price, or you have decided not to do God's will. Correspondingly, still with assimilation to Christ the priest, we are given the courage, or the strength, if you wish, to sacrifice desirable things in the following of Christ. Because if you ask, what does this mean, suffering of the following of Christ? You give up desirable things. There are, therefore, two kinds of assimilation to Christ, the priest, conferred by the sacrament of confirmation. First, imitating or becoming like Christ, the priest, passively, as a victim. And that is the strength to endure. And second, we are assimilated to Christ the priest actively, and that is we are given the grace to give up, to sacrifice. There is a difference between undergoing or enduring painful things. That is the passive side of the priesthood. It is something different to actively give up things that I like. That too is an exercise of the priesthood, and it is called the active priesthood. Are we making sense? Second, through the sacrament of confirmation, we are assimilated to Christ, the teacher. Christ as we know, or do we? Let me ask. Did Christ have the faith? Beverly.
Yes.
You say he did. Anybody else? Join her. Do you think Christ had the faith? Please?
Yes.
You say yes. Well, anybody else? Tony, what would you say? Did Christ have the faith? Or Mary?
He didn't need faith.
He did not, or did?
He did not need faith.
Therefore, did he have it?
I don't know.
Well, now. Suddenly there's doubt. Well, if he didn't need it, he didn't have it. He had what? Did Christ have the vision? Did he see his Father? He had to. He must have. So pardon me for... So Christ did not need the faith. He didn't have the faith. He had vision. But Christ had to have strength of will, didn't he? Not to remain firm in the faith, but to remain faithful, as the expression goes, to the vision which he had of the truth which he possessed. By our sacrament of confirmation, we are assimilated to Christ the teacher first by strengthening our wills in adhering to the faith. Secondly, by the sacrament of confirmation, we are assimilated to Christ the teacher in having strengthened our intellect or will, pardon me, our intellect or mind in not doubting the faith. Is doubting the faith a form of strength or weakness?
Weakness.
Of weakness. Looks like strength, but it's not. Third, through the sacrament of confirmation, we are assimilated or likened to Christ, the teacher, by having strengthened our humility and courage in professing the faith. It's one thing to keep the faith. It's another thing even not to doubt the faith. But you also need strength to profess the faith. For example, you're eating in a restaurant. And I think I've told you I've learned to make a great big ostentatious sign of the cross. I look around to see that whether people are watching. Yes. The more watch me, the better. We're to profess our faith. If we're religious, we look like religious. If we're priests, we look like priests. When we pass a church where the Blessed Sacrament is reserved, what do we do? We do something. Sign of the cross, tip your hat, do something to make a profession of faith. Okay. Fourth, by our assimilation to Christ, the teacher, we are strengthened in wisdom and the ability to communicate the faith. I've taught speech, homiletics you might call it, long enough and often enough to tell my students you are not a good speaker. So how do I become a good speaker? Two ways, practice and prayer. How do you become a writer? By writing. How do you become a speaker? By speaking. Ah, but be sure you have a listener who will criticize you. And then take the criticism seriously. But prayer and the sacrament of confirmation gives us, it's the most powerful means we have to enable us to communicate the faith. And remember, communication is not merely talking about the faith, but that somebody will listen and their lives will change because of what we say. Third kind of assimilation. This is the sacramental character of confirmation. It assimilates us to Christ, the King and leader, in three ways. First, gives us the strength of leadership. I think it's the most desperately needed grace among superiors in religious institutes and among bishops in the Church of God today. I trust you agree. The strength to stand up and say no. Or to tell people to do whatever they're supposed to do. Correct, condemn if need be, and always make sure that those in a society, whether it's a diocese or the church at large, know who's in charge. I did tell you, didn't I? Well, the Newsweek issue of June the 23rd, you haven't looked it up? Look it up. A one-page article, two columns. You can read it in 7 minutes. By George Wills, talking about Pope John Paul II. All leaders in society, political, church, you name it, can learn from Pope John Paul, says this Protestant commentator. Pope John Paul has no identity crisis. He knows exactly who he is. And secondly, Pope John Paul has the courage of his convictions. And he's not afraid to tell the whole wide world who he is. He has no doubt, and he wants no one else to have any doubt either. Well, the second is that first he has convictions. He knows who he is. Second, he has the courage to let others know that he knows who he is. And he does it beautifully. He's so kind, so gentle, lifting babies. But the same hand that lifts a baby, he'll tell a bishop, as I've been told during this synod. Did you hear this? The Holy Father, to make sure that he met all the bishops and told them exactly what he wanted them to do, he ate three meals each day in the 30-some days of the synodical meetings. That means 3 times 30 is 90. Is that correct? Each meal, he invited 6 bishops to his table. And he indoctrinated at each meal. He was in charge. Isn't that sweet? Here's one man in whom the character of the sacrament of confirmation took effect. And I was told by the end of the synod, one of the American bishops, who was not all that papal when he came, a priest told me last night, we couldn't believe it. There he was, pounding the table and insisting that we bishops must stand behind the Pope. And we must support Humanae Vitae. At any rate, assimilation to Christ, the King and leader. strength of leadership and the ability to direct souls. Most people, if you haven't been told, and this is just a fact of human history, most people are sheep. Did you know that?
Yes.
The number of shepherds in any one period of history is always small. But they're good sheep. But they want to be led. That's what a sheep is for, to be shepherded. That's also a verb. It's not only a noun, as I have occasion to tell people. Second, the assimilation to Christ, the King and leader, by conferring the strength of character in withstanding opposition to the faith. Oh, how that is needed today. The strength of character in withstanding opposition to the faith, especially among those who have responsibility in the church. And we all have some, others more, some less. And third, assimilation to Christ, King and leader, through the sacrament of confirmation by conferring the strength of influence, not merely to withstand, but to convert the opposition to the following of Christ. Oh, and that's the peak. When you can win over the enemies of Christ to follow Christ. Who is the classic example for all times of an opponent of Christ who became a champion for Christ? Paul. Now, a title which the Second Vatican Council has conferred on this sacrament. We're finished now. Remember, we've been going over the four effects. Now we're going to talk at least until, you go till what time?
Quarter.
Two? Okay. The Sacrament of Witness. Sacramentum testimonii is the Latin expression. Sacramentum testimonii. The Sacrament of Witness. The Sacrament of Testifying. Now this comes in four pieces, and specifically in four prepositional phrases. The Sacrament of Confirmation is a sacrament of witness, first prepositional phrase, to Christ, second prepositional phrase, in the church, third, before the world, fourth. All right? So confirmation is the sacrament of witness to Christ in the church before the world. Let's say a few words, at least until time runs out, about each of these phrases. First, it is the sacrament of witness, which therefore describes the quality of testifying publicly under duress. There must be opposition. Hence another term which the Second Vatican Council gave this sacrament. No other council would have dared, it wouldn't have had occasion to talk this way. It is called the Sacrament of Martyrdom. I've mentioned this, and I'll repeat it more than once. The Church has had more martyrs since 1900 than in all the centuries put together before. And the end is not in sight. And you better believe it. Second, it is the sacrament of witness to Christ. Meaning, it is the sacrament of witness to Christ by professing faith loyally to the cause of Christ. Second, loyalty to the teachings of Christ. you never think. You need courage to say, write a book. You do. And to say what needs to be said, especially as, in my case, with a secular publisher like Doubleday, as they've told me, and I will never forget the occasion, we had a big editorial meeting, and there was an impasse, things that I wanted to write they didn't want me to say. And finally, the editor said, Father, just to put our cards on the table, your purpose in writing is not the same as ours in publishing. I said, you're right. Would you tell me what your purpose in publishing is? They said, it is to make money. Mm-hmm. And I told them, and my purpose is to communicate the faith. But we'll have to agree on the terms so that while I communicate the faith, you can make money. Some 800 articles were dropped from the dictionary, which the publisher said would be offensive to some readers. All articles dealing with communism, they told me to drop. No wonder I'm talking this way. You need a sacrament to keep yourself even sane, let alone courageous in situations that cause pressure on loyalty to his teachings, loyalty to his person, absolute trust in Christ. He has never been known to betray anyone, though he has been betrayed by so many. I think if I keep going, I will keep going. And we do have another class coming up 2 weeks hence. Now your work for the next class, first that blessed quiz. I would like to have you let's take pages 457. You may think this is, you might say, not enough material for a quiz. I want to have the whole quiz on the real presence. All right? I think it's worth it. Now for reading, it's pages 457 to 464. So it's not too many pages in your, well, pardon me, 465, the top of 65. It's both the introduction to the sacrament of the Eucharist, but especially the real presence. And secondly,
it's in the Catechism.
Now, secondly, and I won't apologize for giving you this assignment, how many of you have access to the little paperback by St. Peter Julian Aimard on the Real Presence? How many have access to it? Well, I made sure there were copies on the desk. You think I was getting a commission from the Daughters of St. Paul, but I'm not. I want you to read. This is not for quizzing, understand? You're going to be quizzed on those pages in the Catechism. I want you to read as much of that little paperback on the Real Presence as you have time for. Is that fair?
Yes, sir.
I think it's so basic. It touches, of course, on so many aspects of our lives. Read as much as you can of the paperback. You will be quizzed only on those 8 or 9 some pages. A very pleasant quiz. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us in every course today.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.